This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
How is Mr. Gunnar since Pearl's passing?
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Some major breaking news in New York. A jury just moments ago finding the longtime Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein guilty of two felony sexual assault charges.
Weinstein is a vicious, serial sexual predator. He has been found guilty of criminal sexual act in the first degree and will face on that count a state prison sentence of no less than 5 years and up to 25 years.
The prosecution is going to have mixed feelings about this because the two highest charges of predatory sexual assault he has been found not guilty of.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This thing is going very well for Vladimir Putin, I promise you. Why would Vladimir Putin be helping Bernie Sanders? Of course, because he wants Donald Trump to win.
I'm reading last night about the fall of France in the summer of 1940, and the general, Renault, calls up Churchill and says, it's over. So I had that suppressed feeling. I can't be as wild as Carville, but he is damn smart, and I think he's damn right on this one.
A lot of people starting to talk about Elizabeth Warren, who finished weak again. Is it time for her to get out of the race to help consolidate efforts against Bernie Sanders?
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Who's going to do the vetting? The press doesn't seem to want to do the vetting on this. Which of those candidates is going to show the aptitude to really vet Bernie Sanders?
I don't think that the Sanders campaign in any way is collusion or collaboration.
You can't hold it against Bernie Sanders that this may be a preference of Russia. But you can hold it and ask questions about Donald Trump if he again is working as an agent of Russia.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Democrats keep perpetuating and accentuating and proliferating Russian propaganda, and the Democrats have been their biggest allies.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Harvey Weinstein walked into court today with the aid of a walker. Shuffling, stumbling, bumbling. So he got a miracle cure. 25 years in prison he's looking at now. And he was able to walk. He had handcuffs on, but he was still able to not use a walker when he left the courtroom. Can somebody shout amen? He's looking at almost as many trials as Michael Avenatti, even though he's now been found guilty of his first offense. Democrats in the news. Have the Clintons tweeted anything about this? Have the Obamas tweeted anything about this? One of the Obama kids worked for him as a summer intern. And, of course, Hillary Clinton sent her leg breakers out to tell Ronan Farrow that he would never work in this town, whatever this town is, Hollywood, New York, D.C., again, if he didn't lay off Harvey Weinstein. And of course, Harvey Weinstein said to NBC, you know, if you run this stuff, I'm going to take down Matt Lauer, which happened anyway. It's a very happy day. You know, things are falling into place. The Nevada caucus is now Harvey Weinstein. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Oh, and by the way, I think Florida has been shifted into a solidly Republican state, Republican-leaning state for the 2020 elections after Bernie's bouquets to the Castro brothers last night on 60 Minutes. You know, it's not just Cubans anymore that have lived down here and have fled communism. This state is teeming with Venezuelans who left before they had to go down to the Caracas Zoo for dinner. And, you know, they don't look too kindly on the Venezuelan dictatorship. One of the big horse farms in Wellington is owned by a former bus driver down in Caracas who became a thug for the late Chavez, the late El Presidente, and he absconded with over $1 billion and now has a giant horse farm in or ranch, whatever you call it, you know, polo pony, that kind of stuff in Wellington, Florida, which is also, by the way, the location of Bloomberg's daughter, Georgina. She's a big horsewoman in Wellington. Oligarchs like birds of a feather fly together, apparently. 844-500-4242. This week, Grace is down here with me in Florida. You say hello to everybody on social media, Grace.
Hello, everybody on social media.
And are you enjoying it? It's warm in Boston today, but still, it's warmer down here, isn't it? And it's sunny.
Yes, and I took a lovely walk this morning. It was beautiful and sunny, and there's just nothing like walking out of your door and not having to seize up all your muscles because you get cold. Something beautiful about that.
I've been waiting since the Nevada polls closed on Saturday night for a path to victory story in the Boston Globe for the fake end about how this is really a victory to finish with, 8% of the vote in Nevada? That this could be the path to victory she's been looking for. I was at least expecting a picture of her with Bailey the Wonder Dog, you know? Bailey sees the path to the nomination differently. He sees it as being rough.
It was. He was
rough.
Says rah, rah.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yes. It's going to be amusing. Tomorrow night we have another debate. This one is in South Carolina. It's sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus, and Biden says that South Carolina is not his firewall. Let's play that one. Cut 14.
If South Carolina, though, is your firewall.
You've said it, my firewall. I've never
said it. The campaign has said it's your firewall.
No, it's not firewall. I said I'm going to do well there.
But he never said it was his firewall. Right, Joe? You never said it was your firewall. Cut 15.
And I think I have a real firewall in South Carolina.
He's something's, his hair is on fire. His plugs are on fire. 844-500-4242. And this whole thing with the leaks from the committee, the House Intelligence Committee, this is more outrageous than I even anticipated that it appeared to be left the air last Friday night. Apparently, this woman who made this briefing, she works for the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence. Both the Republicans and the Democrats asked her, "Do you have any backup information for these charges you're making?" No, I don't. She hadn't told the guy McGuire, Admiral McGuire, who's now been fired. She hadn't told him she was going to say these things. Neither of them did. McGuire didn't tell the president because he didn't know what was happening. So Grinnell, the ambassador to Germany, who is now the acting DNI, he said, "I want you to provide me with the intelligence that you used to make these accusations that the Russians are helping Trump and Bernie." She has nothing. She has nothing. I mean, at least in 2016... They outsourced it to the Clinton campaign, which hired a British subject to get drunk and make stuff up, which became the Steele dossier. They didn't even bother to, you know, like get Bloomberg to pay for some fake dossier that they could all blame this on. They just made it up and threw it out there. And so, of course, now they're going to say it's terrible. We can't release the intelligence because it would put our sources and methods in danger.
It would compromise the ongoing investigation.
Yes, it would. So that's their thing now. And so Trump comes out on Sunday and says, you know, Schiff's got to stop leaking this made up crap. He's got to stop leaking this either erroneous information or made up crap. I'm with made up crap. And so then the Globe comes out today and says, the president accused Schiff of leaking to the alt-left media with no evidence.
Very fake news.
Wait a second. There's a lot more evidence that Schiff leaked than there is evidence that there was any evidence behind the BS that he leaked to the mainstream media. And, you know, and then they're trying to dust up Bernie, too. You know, it's the CIA leaks to the Washington Post. So they decided, as long as we're dusting up Trump, we might as well get the other guy that we hate, which is Bernie. And so they just went after. I mean, this is why they've got to put some of these people in jail. If you don't punish somebody, whether it's a 5-year-old kid who's stealing cookies or these despicable hacks in the deep state, they're going to keep doing it. They've got to be punished. Somebody's got to do something to them. And they haven't done anything so far.
Howie, are we Bernie bros for like a temporary amount of time? I feel the burn right now.
If I hadn't screwed up, Grace, and registered as an independent down here in Florida, I would be voting for Bernie on next Tuesday. Definitely.
Me too. I might even dress in character, put on a beanie and bring my skateboard.
But I'm out of commission, apparently, for this election. I'm sad to say, and I am sad to say it, because I would like to, I want Bloomberg to just get totally stomped, too. He's really an offensive character. And 844-500-4242. You know, Weinstein's got to be saying, you know, I never said as bad. I mean, maybe I did some bad things, but I never said as bad things about the women as Bloomberg. I never called anybody a horse-faced lesbian or a fat broad. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, before we go to the break, you know, Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian, was all disturbed that Bloomberg called someone a fat broad, not to mention a horse-faced lesbian. But this is what Warren said about Bloomberg the other night, cut 17.
I want to talk specifically for just a minute at the top about a threat that is coming our way. And it's a big threat, not a tall one, but a big one. Michael Bloomberg.
How is that any different from calling somebody a fat broad? It's not.
Yeah, that's heightist. That's mean.
Right. Right. I mean, it wouldn't matter. I mean, I would just think it was rather humorous if she hadn't, called down the wrath of the great white father on him, in Las Vegas for calling somebody a fat broad. 844-500-4242. We're going to take a lot of calls in this hour on your thoughts about the Nevada caucuses and the ongoing attempt. Operation Crossfire continues Crossfire Hurricane. Against both President Trump and against Bernie. 844-500-4242. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
There's a story out today, maybe several stories, saying that President Trump has drawn up an enemy. President Trump has drawn up an enemies list, and he's going to get rid of all the people who oppose him in his administration. They're shocked. This could be an impeachable offense. He's going to get rid of fire people who are disloyal to him and want to stab him in the back. I read the story and I said, why wasn't this story in the papers 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago? Why? What's taken so long? The markets are unpredictable. Recent fears over coronavirus have sent the markets into a tailspin today, and who knows what the future holds. In a time when nothing is certain, do what I do. Trust Orion Metals Exchange. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. Call them today at 1-800-912-2300. You'll get more for your money. You'll get more money for your money. More gold for your money. More precious silver and gold for your money. call 1-800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who's more likely to win Massachusetts on Super Tuesday, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, or Mike Bloomberg?
I put Bloomberg in there just because Michael Douglas was in Quincy yesterday. I don't know why he was in Quincy, but he was. They said that some story I read last night said he was in Michael Bloomberg's birthplace, Quincy. I thought he was from Medford. I think he was born in Brighton, and he was raised, went to high school in Medford. But I'm going to say Bernie. Bernie was ahead. There was a poll done late last week, and Bernie had like a 1-point lead, but it was within the margin of error. It was a pretty small poll. But I've been expecting Bernie to pull ahead.
Douglas's dad has barely assumed room temperature, and he's already back out of the campaign trail.
You didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, he was in town yesterday.
Wow. Bernie is at 78%, followed by Elizabeth Warren at 14. Mike Bloomberg has 8.
See, Taylor, you know, apparently Kirk left all his money to charity. He didn't leave anything to Michael. So he just, what does he need to be at the funeral for? You know?
Howard, Michael Douglas is worth like $300 million, and he had a very nice relationship with his father. He will be there honoring Kirk. And that's your pop culture update for the day.
You think he's worth $300 million?
Yes, I actually researched it.
So you think he's worth more than Kirk? Because Kirk was worth $60 to $80 million, depending on the account.
I think so. Michael Douglas has been in quite a few great films.
MGM contracts back in the day were a lot different than what they were today.
Not to mention the streets of San Francisco. Carl Malden. He went to Deerfield briefly, dropped out, though. He didn't think much of it.
I guess Malden or Douglas?
No, Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas. We went there for like a semester.
Would he have been in your class?
If I was in the class of 1954, maybe. No, he was not in my class.
Shucks.
Patrice, I didn't come here to be made sport of, Grace. Patrice, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Patrice.
Hey, Howie, we have to educate us on Florida election law. If you are unenrolled here in Massachusetts, you could vote in either one. So what's going on in Florida? Why have they stymied you?
I wasn't paying attention, Patrice. It was my own damn fault. You know, every state is different. In South Carolina, if you're a registered Republican, next Saturday you can go in and take a Democrat ballot. You know, and other states have totally closed primaries, and this is Florida happens to be one of them. So I'm saying, why am I a registered independent? I mean, independent is the best way to go in Massachusetts because you can vote Democrat or Republican. I made a mistake, Patrice. I screwed up. What can I say?
They have closed primaries there?
I guess they do, yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, you don't even want to be independent anymore, Howie.
I know. I'm gonna have to check that out again. A couple of texters told me that last week, but I'm gonna have to check that out before Tuesday. My precinct is within walking distance. It's the church I was confirmed in when I was a kid. Patrice. You know, so I'm coming back full circle here.
Wow. Well, you gotta vote though. You gotta find a way to vote.
I know. You think I should fly back to Wellesley and vote for Bernie?
Just check the obits. Find a name.
You know what, Taylor? I think you've summed it up. I think that's the easiest way to do it.
Kirk Douglas, I think, is available.
I don't think he's registered out of St. Edwards. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Bernie basically says, you remember the old saying from the old communist days, workers of the world, you know, have nothing to lose but your chains. Bernie says, workers of the world, unite. You have nothing to lose but your health insurance, your jobs, your guns, your free speech, your borders, your society, your retirement plans. Yeah, go for it. Go for it, baby. So he wrote off Florida last night. So he's going to, the next thing you do is, no, probably tomorrow night at the debate in South Carolina, he's going to say, well, we have to shut down fracking. We have to shut down. Once we shut down the coal industry, we must shut down all the fossil fuels. And he's wondering, and in the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin's going, da, another round of vodka over here. I read this weekend a description of Russia as a heavily armed gas station, because over half of their exports are petroleum products, and they're getting hammered, as Elizabeth Warren would say right now, because the U.S. is producing so much energy. Number one energy producer in the world, once again, for the first time in 60 years. So, of course, Bernie wants to shut down not just the coal, but now he wants to shut down nuclear, and he wants to halt fracking. And he's on target with the Green New Deal, which would take airplanes out of the sky. So, you know, why wouldn't the Russians be for him? I mean, it's kind of self-evident, isn't it? I just don't think there's much they could do. That's what's crazy about it. Why are they making a big deal when there's nothing they can really do? 844-500-4242. I just want to play, before we go back to the phone lines, I just want to play John Ratcliffe, the Republican from Texas. He was in on this intelligence briefing. You know, it's amazing that he and Nunes, and all the Republicans who were there, they can't say anything because laws apply to Republicans. You know, this is classified. This was a classified briefing. You're not supposed to talk about it. But the Democrats don't care. They just leak it all out. What makes this so absurd is that this is a briefing designed just to hurt Trump and also Bernie. But it's not even true. That's what's so and they didn't even bother to falsify it. They didn't even bother to concoct some fake, phony dossier. This woman just went in there and spoke off the top of her head, making crap up for Adam Schiff to leak to the New York Times. And they said you want to know how corrupt she is? Just read the Wall Street, the CNN version of this story. She's very respected. Yes, she's a deeply regarded intelligence analyst. Where was she a spy, by the way, this woman? Was she ever a spy? None of these people ever left the United States, as far as I can see. They just Strzok. How many arrests did Strzok ever make? Or Page? They're just pencil sharpeners. They get coffee. They're briefers. 844-500-4242. But let's play this cut from Ratcliffe. Cut five.
This new information?
Well, think about it, Maria. You're asking me about details of a classified briefing that was intended to remain secret. No, you're asking me about it because it's been reported on by the New York Times. And, you know, that's all too familiar. We see when there's a story about that is allegedly anti-Trump or negative for the president. It shows up in newspapers because either Democratic members or Democratic staffers leak it. The problem is, in this case, they've leaked information that's not accurate.
They leaked fake news. You know, she didn't have anything to back it up, but she didn't even say what she was quoted as saying in the New York Times. And the New York Times even conceded that in the fifth paragraph. We talked about this on Friday. The New York Times conceded that there was nothing new about Trump. The only thing that was new was about Bernie Sanders. They want to help Bernie Sanders. But that's not even new, because that's in the Mueller, the Weissman report, you know, that they wanted to help Bernie Sanders. They said, try to hit Clinton, but leave Trump and Sanders alone. We don't care about them, or we're with them. 844-500-4242. Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Calling from Pennsylvania. Thanks for taking my call, Howie.
Sure.
You know, I haven't heard anybody make this comment yet, but when Senator Warren was going after Bloomberg about not being transparent for releasing those NDAs,
yes,
she's doing the same thing with her Harvard application, and
right.
She should allow Harvard to release that so she could be transparent.
You know, I thought of the same thing, and also the University of Pennsylvania, because that was the first place she apparently played the Native American card. You know, she was just an instructor at the University of Texas Austin Law School, and all of a sudden she decides to start claiming she's a Native American or a Cherokee or whatever, and she's got a tenured position at University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League law school. And I thought that would be a good comeback for Bloomberg. But on the other hand, most people don't know about that. Most Democrats, they're low info voters. They don't know about the fraudulent ethnic applications. And don't you think she's probably scrubbed them by now, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, you live in glass wigwams. You shouldn't be throwing stones.
You know, you and I would love to hear him say that tomorrow night, but I don't think he's going to. I just think he's going to leave her alone. I hope he comes back at her, though. But what's the point of going after Elizabeth Warren at this point? This is the weird thing about it is that, you know, like Elizabeth Warren's dead. Klobuchar is dead. Buttigieg is probably dead, too, although he doesn't know it. And Biden's dead. There's only two of them that really matter. And, you know, Bernie's not going to go after Bloomberg as long as somebody else is going to do his dirty work. I mean, the Nevada caucus is just went to show yet again what we've seen in the past. The person who is the kamikaze candidate who attacks the front runner, like Christie in 2016 with Marco Rubio, he hurts the guy he goes after, but it doesn't do him any good. You know, Christie finished fifth or sixth in New Hampshire after he did it, and the fake Indian finished fourth in Nevada with less than 10% of the vote. Thanks for the call, Jim. But it would be really good entertainment, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, it would just be nice to see her, you know, pushed back a little bit on her toes to see what she would
right.
do. Because she has no problem calling up everybody else's dirty laundry. I don't know why they're all so afraid to bring it
up.
You
know what she would say? So, I was cleared by the Boston Globe. It was an exhaustive study.
So, understand this. I learned about my family the way most people do. From my mom and my dad.
And my papa.
And my papa, Minnie Mike. And though you might not be a big threat, you're a tall threat, you're a big threat nonetheless. Understand this.
Yeah, I'm on the warpath about what you said about women.
Don't worry about my high cheekbones. Worry about calling women horse-faced lesbians.
You don't have to read my smoke signals. I've got this tomahawk in my hand, and I'm going to bury it in your figurative skull for calling women horse-faced lesbians and fat broads, you shrimp. Randy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
So listen, I know I was there when Bernie Sanders first became mayor with 11 votes. So let me, because a lot of people don't know this, this is the very first thing that Bernie Sanders did. He went down to the south end of the city and told the businesses down there that they were going to now pay the inventory tax, which was taken off by the previous mayor.
Right.
Because, right? He did that.
Yeah.
So can you guess what happened next? No, I'll tell
you.
They
moved, everybody moved to Colchester.
No, Coke moved to Colchester,
yeah.
Coca-Cola,
yeah.
Pepsi moved to South Burlington, and the biggest printing company in New England, the biggest printing company in New England with over 500 employees moved to Williston.
Yeah.
Before he X'd that plan. Okay, I'm not going to charge him. Then he turned around and sued the Fletcher Allen Hospital for all their nonprofit buildings they had. And
he wanted to put them on the tax. He wanted to put them on the tax rolls. In other words,
yeah. Then he sued UVM. He did, and then he went after the University of Vermont. He lost that. Then he turned around and took on the railroad. Hello.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You take on the railroad. All the railroad sends money to burn to the railroad. So because they know if Bernie can do it to them, him, they're going to do it to the others.
Yeah. How did he get reelected then, Randy?
I don't know. This is what happened. I grew up in a 10-block working-class neighborhood. I'm going to only use 10 blocks because we knew everybody. Everybody went to school. We were brought up from the greatest generation of parents. So
yeah.
We learned to have respect, have morals, yes, sir, no, sir. We learn to work, get jobs, and do all of that. When Bernie Sanders became mayor, everybody in this country, all the Kool-Aid, decided to move to our city, and they took up the rentals. Then they started buying the housing stock. Then they got on all the committees. And in 5 years, Bernie Sanders ruined the 10-block working-class neighborhood because he's a guy for the working class.
I know. I'm going to write a column about this, you know, about these claims of being working class. Remember how 30, 40 years ago, whenever they wanted a tax increase on for schools or for education, they'd always say it's for the children. But it was really for the teachers' unions. Now they keep talking about the working class. It's always the working class. But you know what? The people who are call themselves working class, like Bernie Sanders, they never work. They never work. I looked up the House Un-American Activities Committee today, and they had all these groups in the 50s, the industrial workers of the world. How many of them work, do you think? The Revolutionary Workers League, the Spartacist Workers Party, the Workers Vanguard newspaper, which used to be Workers Action. How many of these people actually worked? Just like Bernie, I represent the working class. It's just BS. It's such BS. Whenever you hear someone talking about, the more they talk about working class, the less they've worked. That's my takeaway from working class rhetoric. The working class hero is something to be. You're all bleeping peasants, as far as I can see. That's John Lennon back in the day.
Wow.
Alan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say that I don't think a lot of us really realize what's coming at us right now. I mean, what one generation tolerates, the next generation embraces. And why I'm saying that is because just a little while ago, not even 4 years ago, we started laughing when Bernie started running for presidency. And look at the snowball effect it came. I mean, the snowball he's pushing now is the size of the Empire State Building. He's got so much momentum, so many young minds behind him, and it just burns me so bad that this media can come out and throw anything that Adam Schiff says out there like it's the gospel. I mean, we have to remember what communism, what socialism is. And for China and for Russia to just get out there and just start getting into Google, get on the internet and just start throwing out haymakers, this is why I'm saying it's dangerous. Because
notice the exit polls they did in Nevada, that the only group, and it was a very small turnout, by the way, in Nevada, and there were fewer blacks and Latinos voting this time than in 2016. But the only group demographically that Bernie lost in Nevada was people over 65. In other words, the people who best remembered communism and the Cold War and the Soviet Union and Fidel Castro, for that matter. The people who remember communism and socialism best voted against Bernie Sanders because they know what this means ultimately. Thanks for the call, Alan.
That's why Chris Matthews has looked so scared for the last 48 hours every time the camera turns on. He looks frightened, and I don't really blame him.
Yeah. You can't neglect being prepared. Be prepared, right, as the Boy Scouts say. But, you know, I just can't imagine Bernie winning this time. Maybe down the road. As the education establishment for the children kicks in and keeps indoctrinating people. But I don't think at this point. I hope not. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
The markets are unpredictable. Recent fears over coronavirus sent the markets into a tailspin today, and who knows what the future holds. In a time when nothing is certain, do what I do. Trust Orion Metals Exchange. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. Call them today at 1-800-921-2300. Call them today. You'll get more metal for your money. Call 1-800-921-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who's more likely to win Massachusetts on Super Tuesday, Bernie Sanders, Liz Warren, or Michael Bloomberg?
I'm going to say Bernie Sanders.
80% say Bernie.
I don't think there's too much question, especially after she gets smoked. Is that the right word, considering she sends up smoke signals? Is that the right word for an Indian? After she gets smoked in South Carolina next weekend?
How dare you!
Peter, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Peter.
Hey, hi. Hi, Howie.
Hi.
You know, Elizabeth Warren, she's not going to get smoked. She's going to get spanked. Anyways, you know, I grew up in northern Vermont, Howie, and back in the old days when Bernie Sanders first blew in there, I'm sure you guys pretty much know the story about Bernie Sanders' life.
Yeah.
This guy, he tried to be a hack carpenter, and he was a real hack carpenter. He couldn't saw a board square and straight, and he couldn't drive a nail straight. And you know what? He finally figured out he got involved in politics because that's where the public trough was at. So then now we fast forward, and this is where we are, Howie.
Yeah, I know. I know. He's been in Congress since, what, 1991? And so that's almost 30 years. And being mayor was the first time he ever got a paycheck. And again, it wasn't a job where he actually created something like he would have if he were a carpenter. He was thrown out of a commune for being too lazy. I mean, that's how bad he was. I had a story in the Stack last week. Some professor who's now in his 70s or 80s said the first time he ran into him was at the University of Vermont library. And Bernie was just rummaging through the stacks talking about how much he hated the Rockefellers. I mean, he's always been crazy.
He's like the crazy professor from Beauty and the Beast.
Right. He reminds me of those old Lyndon LaRouche guys you used to see on the Boston Common, you know, passing out literature. They all got the...
I'm here with Dr. Bruce Howe.